Action Park Media.
What's the matter with the clothes? Welcome to Victory, the podcast. I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin Dillon.
I can't believe we're still saying our names on episode 875, but
that's
I am
Kevin Connolly.
Over
there. Never know. You never know when you're going to be replaced.
Season four.
We've been thinking about replacing you.
That'll be good. I'll go back to the booth. I'll go back to the booth.
Remember those days.
Yeah. Remember when he wouldn't come out of the booth?
Yeah, weird, right?
Now, today we're going to do season four, episode five, The Dream Team, which, we were laughing hysterically, but I also can read Doug, and I know that you did not love this episode, correct, Doug?
No, it was good. I mean, I didn't love it.
I didn't love it either.
It's kind of a weak story, this hat thing.
It felt different in other episodes.
Yeah, something about it felt a little off. Maybe Dylan's performance kind of makes that storyline work, and then the stuff with you and Reese is, that was hilarious to me. Like, everything that was coming out of you.
Yeah, I want to get the hat so I'm cool, and people think I'm younger on the set. It's just, it was, and I, you know, bug out.
Yeah,
I just get high and I flip out. But I think that's a weird storyline. But people really did like that storyline.
But I think there's an interesting. I got a lot of messages, by the way, that this was people's favorite.
People love this episode.
But you know what it is? There's things sometimes which look. That's the way it is. There's some things where they're so well written that a lot of actors could do stuff. And then, in my opinion, only my opinion, there's some things that, like, you know, the episode was kind of bad. But Dylan, you're just so funny that, you know, it's weird, though. I'm surprised because I know there was nothing about this episode. This feels like a storyline that you would have been like, what am I doing? Like,
yeah, I wasn't. I remember when I got the script, I didn't really like it.
Oh, you remember not liking it?
Yes, I didn't like it.
I remember not taking your calls those weekends.
You know, it's funny because, I know that you don't. I could just look over.
But that
and tell.
Being said, there's things that are so great. So anyway, we'll get into
Let's
that.
Let's get into that. We got other stuff.
Break, but what
we
got other stuff. What else we got?
Well, again, for as we doing are sitting here doing a free ad read, Dylan came in today with a Chick-fil-A mac and cheese.
I mean, this guy, by the way, what I'm realizing about Dylan between the Cheetos and the mac and cheese, he can live on cheese. No, I wasn't.
I love cheese.
You love cheese.
I love cheese. I don't eat good. I got to eat better.
Dylan,
I really do. I got to eat better.
Dylan has the genetics from the heavens.
Yeah.
He's got the, what is it? The metabolism.
Fast metabolism.
He's got metabolism
I eat
from
a lot.
The gods.
But is the Chick-fil-A, because I ate Chick-fil-A at the Atlanta airport 4 days ago, which I always enjoy.
So good.
But I didn't even see mac and cheese on the menu. So was it a good mac and cheese?
Yeah, they do a great mac and cheese. It's not as good as mine.
What is yours?
I do a little vermouth reduction.
What does that mean? Is that real?
Good, yeah.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It's like white wine. You could use white wine too, and you kind of.
It's like a splash.
You cook the alcohol out.
No. You understand the reduction? What that is?
I'm super confused.
Yeah, it's like when you add wine to a bolognese or that kind of thing.
But then you reduce it, and you're getting rid of the alcohol, so you're cooking off the alcohol.
But it's tricky because you're dealing with cream and butter and stuff like that, and cheese.
You know what, Colin, you should watch? I think you would enjoy it. I don't know. Do you ever watch? I think it's great. And Gordon Ramsay is sort of like,
I love that guy,
Ari. But MasterChef is awesome. And it's a very simplistic way
he yells at people.
He's just mean.
I love his meanness.
He's like Ari.
I love his meanness. Why are you an idiot?
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely an act. I'm guessing that's why he's so popular, right?
He just fucking undresses people. Yeah,
right?
I love that.
But I think, I don't know. Obviously, I've never met the guy. I think it's performance and it's an act.
He looks tough, too, though.
He does.
He looks tough. Like he could kick your ass.
Yeah, he does.
He's kind of a big guy, right?
Yeah. I think he's big. He looks like he's 6'1".
I've never seen him live, but he looks big. But, you know, in a simplistic way, you get really interesting learning about cooking a little bit. I like it. I like all those cooking shows. So
I just wish Chick-fil-A would be open on a Sunday.
Well,
it drives me crazy.
Blasphemy.
How are you in here with just the mac and cheese? So what did you
I had a sandwich yesterday.
So
last night.
So you'll go to Chick-fil-A and like order enough food for the week?
No, it comes with the mac and cheese.
I wasn't really that hungry, so I got I just ate the sandwich and I saved this.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't think and there maybe, it is on the table for free.
Yeah, it's my lunch today.
But you didn't think maybe, I'll get Kevin Doug a little something from
Why would he get it last night?
It was yesterday. Actually, it was before I played golf. It was my pre-round golf meal.
So this sat in your car during golf, and now it
did.
It here.
Yeah.
Oh my God! It's cheese. Are you out of your fucking mind?
No, it's good, man. Wait, it's covered up. I mean,
it's covered up.
That, it's not hot out, and he hasn't been. It's whatever. It's not like it was there for four days.
Hold on.
I think it's okay.
I personally don't think there's anything on earth that can kill Kevin.
I will drink the coffee.
Are you telling me if I took a mac and cheese, sat it in my car all night in any temperature, and then handed it to you the next day, you'd eat it?
No, I would eat my mac and cheese. cheese in my car. Right. But who knows what happens with your car? In my car.
Yes.
In my car. In your if own I left car. A mac and cheese in my car.
And that Tesla's tight. When you shut those doors, it seals tight.
Would like to.
It's not like flies.
I would like to personally offer to go to Chick-fil-A and get you a fresh mac and cheese. I'm scared.
Come on, Doug. Take one bite of this.
Never. Never. Something that's left in the car overnight. Oh, no.
All right. Let's also.
He's not going to do good in a survival situation, Doug. I don't think. I'm not eating.
Do they have Chick-fil-A in the survival situations?
What'd you guys do for Halloween?
Oh, Halloween. Nothing.
That was last night, right?
Yeah.
I did nothing.
By the way, this is the first year in like 20 years. Everybody, I don't go out, as most of you know. I know you two know, but the Casamigos party, which is our
friends. That's usually when you go out and dress like a night complete psychopath.
Yeah. For 20 years, I've gotten forced to dress up, and this year I was out of town. We'll hopefully discuss where I was. I mean, I'm hoping that's going to get brought up.
Yeah. Pickleball, baby. Pickleball.
But I was not here, so I did not go out. But when I returned yesterday, Sarah had planned an outfit. So all I did for Halloween was spend 7 minutes dressing up and taking a photo. But
I went.
You did dress up, though.
I dressed up as a
pickleball player, bro.
Yeah. Well, Sarah. Oh, you're making fun of Sarah. Huh?
No, I'm not making fun of Sarah. Who's making fun of Sarah?
I didn't pick the outfit. So did you see her, though? The baby bump was a pickleball. I thought it was pretty crazy.
Yeah. I assumed you guys went out to some party. I went trick-or-treating.
Sarah went out. You did?
I went trick-or-treating. Can you imagine?
Well, I mean, yeah, if you shave, you look like a little kid.
kids. I just forgot what a shit show trick-or-treating is.
Where'd you go?
We were in Woodland Hills. It was a madhouse.
It's fun when you got a kid, though.
Yeah, but she's also not enough of a kid to
enough of a kid.
It was more ceremonial than anything else. But there's people running around crazy.
Well, it's fun. Malibu used to be great. Yeah. You go to like Broad Beach or something. Everyone invites you into their house, and it's a glass of wine or a beer. It's so fun.
Doesn't sound like a kid.
It's
shots of tequila.
It's more about the adults. The
Kennedy
adults
got
have
a Snickers.
More fun.
Kennedy got a Snickers. I didn't see any wine. I would love to have had some. But.
So, Connolly, I've gotten a lot of messages. You've dressed and humiliated your family and everybody else as Gilligan for the last 15 or 20 years,
right.
Which nobody even knows who the hell Gilligan is.
Right.
Supposedly, you were going to mix it up this year, and then I saw a picture online. You were the Bad News Bears. Which you've already worn. So you didn't come up with anything new.
No, I did not. I did not.
What, you were Kelly from the Bad News Bears?
No, he was fucking Lupus. Is that his name?
No.
He's the nerd.
Tanner Boyle. No, it was Kelly Leak. I was Kelly Leak. No, it wasn't. Yeah. I was one of the Bad News Bears. But Olivia Miles, last season of Entourage, that was the best thing. She would, I would say, Olivia, come on, I need help with a Halloween costume. So when she turned over the Bad News Bears, it is. As authentic, you could just stick me in a movie and put me on the field.
I mean,
that's how hardcore the uniform.
If they didn't recognize Gilligan, then I got to know.
Yeah, can I tell you something, said? Can I tell you something, said? And then I want to hear this. I was with a bunch of 30-year-olds at this pickleball thing, and the Bad News Bears happened to come up. I didn't know you were dressed as that. None of them knew this movie, which I'm not, and I love Billy Bob. I'm not talking Billy Bob Thornton.
The original
Bad News Bears is great. One of the best movies ever made.
Walter Matthau.
Right, yes. But they also, the one with Bad News Bears and Breaking Train, the ones in the 70s and the 80s were good movies.
Yeah, but the original first one is a classic.
Awesome.
So go ahead on
Here's the thing. I mean, Gilligan, if you don't know who Gilligan is, because Zulai said the same thing. Zulai's like, listen.
That's crazy that people don't know that.
They're not going to know Gilligan. They're not, because last year it was like, finally, not, I would say 1 or 2% of the people at the party knew that I was Gilligan. So I said, you know what? I just don't want to explain it.
She's like, you
think anybody's going to know the Bad News Bears? I said, no, but if nothing else, I'm just a baseball player.
Oh, God. He's such a...
I'm a guy...
He's a party pooper.
No, but I had to go...
I don't want to have to talk to people.
Yeah. Well, I had to go to a party on Thursday, and I had to have like 3 costumes, which is ridiculous for a 48-year-old man.
Wait, what do you mean?
Zulai and I went to a party, and it was a dead disco party.
So what was
that?
So
I had to be like a disco guy with my throat cut.
That's cool. I think it's
a throat cut. So I have a dead disco party.
Sarah was at that party.
Sarah was at the party. There's a cut in my throat and there's like bruises around my neck. The lady from Ramble On came and did Zulai's makeup. She gave me a little throat cut and some bruises on my neck.
That sounds more creative than the
So Sarah went out without you, huh, Doug?
I wasn't here.
Well, Doug wasn't here.
Oh, yeah.
I was out of town.
I know you enjoy your downtime. We were just talking about that.
I was playing in high professional athletics in Georgia.
We'll check it out. This guy says to me dead seriously, he's like, can I ask you a personal question? I'm like,
no.
Well, that would depend how personal. But what do you got? And he said, what happened to your neck?
You didn't get
the
note?
By the way, this is a Halloween party, bro.
That's
Everybody's dead.
That's very weird.
I said, bro, Nothing happened in my neck. The makeup artist happened in my neck.
That is really weird.
But I'm glad.
What was he wearing?
Clearly, it was good makeup.
He thought the bruises were. I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking.
What was he wearing though?
He was wearing some form of a disco costume, whatever it was.
Maybe he was trying to be funny.
No, I smell funny. I even when it's not funny.
You do smell funny. You set yourself up.
I really walked right into that one.
You stink.
But I'm glad Halloween's over. So we're on.
Dylan,
to the next.
Did you dress up?
I want to borrow your kid. I'll take your kid trick or treating because I love.
Where? No, I liked it. I just
I'll take it to Malibu, which
but
is
it's
a little
it's over, Kevin.
Yeah,
it's over. Real weird. Dylan's gonna go on Tuesday, like, hey, knocking on people's doors.
Yeah, what kind of leftover kid?
Johnny Drama's got fucking bananas. It's November 8th.
If you don't give me something good.
Our next partner has a product I literally use every day. I started taking AG1 because I was waking up in the morning. I'd sit and have the energy. I was low on energy. I hate taking pills, vitamins. I always forget them. I can never find them. And now I take AG1 in the morning. I've been doing it for about 6 weeks. It doesn't taste super healthy. It's got kind of a mild tropical taste. I mean, I look forward to it personally. I take a shower. I play with the baby. I go on a little walk. And the last thing I do before I leave the house is I drink my AG1. This is the best option for easy, optimal nutrition out there. You take one scoop of AG1 and you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, and your energy, most importantly for me, recovery, focus, and aging. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packets with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/victory. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/victory to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. You know, people listening, whenever we get together, we always have to try to like stop ourselves because we start talking about stuff that we feel would be good on the pod.
Yeah.
But we were talking about
downtime.
Alone time. Alone time.
I love my alone time.
And what it means to men. Yeah. Kevin, how do you feel about your alone time?
Well, I love it. You know, kick back. Could put the AC on for a change instead of sweating my balls off all the time. I mean, it's nice.
I mean, this is a conversation that will get us all in trouble, sadly. Not Dylan, because none of his family listens.
But if we stick together.
Watch whatever I want. If we just stick together.
If we're all on the same page about our alone time.
Yeah, it's the funniest thing, because when Sarah's like, she'll go, do you mind if I go out to dinner Thursday night? And I jump a little too quickly.
Oh, by the way.
No. Are you kidding?
And by
enjoy yourself.
The funny thing is, and whatever, hopefully our audience is a little younger than us, but like, I think Sarah, we're in 4 years now, but like early on in the relationship, she didn't really understand that I'm like, I'm not that interested in doing anything. So there is
she understands that now.
But like, oh, yeah, for sure. But she didn't need to worry about like, oh, I was, you know, if I got my alone night, I was going to do a boys' night. I've never done that. I've never been like the guy for the boys' night. But when she says, do you care if I go out? All I do is think about, wow.
The first thing he does is he runs to his computer, cranks up the volume, and throws the porn up. That's the first thing he does. Go rub one out.
Doug airdrops his porn to the 85-inch television in the living room.
I'm like, okay, great. I don't have to hide in the bathroom with the mini iPad. No. I mean,
she comes back like, oh, I forgot something.
It's honestly, it's so sad because when I just get like a little, like one night alone, I just go, all right. Edibles and SportsCenter. Have you ever watched like 3 hours in a row of SportsCenter and then you realize you're watching? It's the same thing.
And you watch the loop?
Yeah.
Like, wait a second, I already heard this. What's going on? Yeah, I know.
And then she comes home though and it's like, oh, how was your night? Like, she's mad. Like, you know, like, I'm like,
she wanted you to miss her more, I guess.
Yeah, or Zula was saying about Kennedy. Like, so how'd it go with Kennedy?
She slept.
And what capacity? She ate. She got a bath and she went to sleep. And there was no house fire. There was no, we made it through the night, but we do love our alone time. Not that we don't it's just nice.
Yeah.
Because Zulai's a big volume person. When we watch a movie, she has to have the remote control in her hand.
Really?
Well, that, that would be a battle with me.
Volume, like, temperature in the house, right. It's all things. You know, I had an ex who told me once, I said, you know, like, I've looked up my personality and like it's important psychologically for me to have some alone time. And she said, you get your alone time when you're asleep.
You can true be story. Alone when you're asleep.
True story.
That is not a codependent only statement time. At all.
Yeah. Do that's you guys, I mean, actually, Dylan, and this is not judging you. I think Connelly used to be more like this. I don't, maybe you still are. I'm like, I was never, and I have great friends. I have, my best friends are still from kindergarten, but they know. Every year, those guys who were all married, they're like, Vegas on, and I always do the same thing, like, because it starts, like, the planning starts 9-10 months out, and I'll be like, yeah, that sounds awesome. This 0% chance I'm going. I'm not that guy. I'm just like, I don't like the guy trips. I like the pickleball trips, but I'm just not into it, you know? So do you
smaller
like
is better
still?
With
are you still like, you like, a seven guy group?
No, Dylan's not a seven. Dylan's not a seven guy.
It's got to be four. No more than four.
Yeah. But you're
anything
good.
Above four is
now
really
you're gonna take separate cars. And it's a
are you right. excited about? I don't know. And I'm
no,
not.
No, Dylan is a good wingman. That's Dylan's ideal situation. Him and one good wingman.
Yeah, yes. But wingman is if you're looking for women.
No, not necessarily. Wingman like, is like a guy that can handle himself socially out and about. You know, can just whatever, somebody that brings something to the table. It's not, wingman is not necessarily.
I would not be a good wingman. I'm
you would be.
Well, you would be a good wingman.
No, he wouldn't like because he wouldn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Dylan, you and I were always great wingmen for each other.
Yeah. Many, yeah. When we did the, those club, nightclub appearances,
endless
we had a good
examples.
Time, right? We had we were like a tag team.
Yeah. Ew.
Ew. So gross, ew, that's gross.
You guys cross so swords.
And I'm like, all right, I'm going to take 10 minutes off, Kev. You go get, take care of the.
You know, I just, you know, like I went, I got to live like one of my dreams and basically pretend I was a professional athlete.
Yeah, why don't you let me lead this one, Doug? Okay. Because I believe I owe you
an apology.
I don't know that an apology is.
He's so like Doug, Fonzie. He cannot say
he doesn't believe in you.
Yeah. No, not like honestly. It's
I believed
not,
in
it's
you.
Not,
I
no,
said you were going
to
do that.
This is Kev. You watch this. This is not belief. So for everybody out there, Doug is leaving to go play in a pickleball. I guess it was for charity, and I know it was for a good cause, but that didn't feel like a charity event.
No, I mean, it was Danny Werfel, former Heisman Trophy winner's charity, and it was a charity event, but everyone
just
was competitive.
Felt like, wow. It wasn't like we go to these golf tournaments.
There were no bad teams? I mean, there was...
Well, of course there were. There were some better than others, but like the level of competition was real deal, and there were people out there that were trying to win. So we get the YouTube link. So we come into the office, and we fire up the YouTube link, and, you
ready
know,
to make
I
fun
don't,
of me.
Yeah, I don't, I'm ready to not know what to expect. All right. And by the time Doug, so they're airing different games and then, but on this corner, you're tracking. It's like, what was your partner's name again?
Wes Burrows.
So it was Ellen and Burrows. Like, it would pop up in the corner screen. Ellen and Burrows 1-0. Wow. Ellen and Burrows 2-0. Ellen and Burrows 3-0. Ellen and Burrows 4-0.
Wow. How many matches are there?
They played six. They played six. No, you guys are 5-1. So then the fifth game is on TV. So now it's in there in the office, and we're like, dude, we were into it. Honestly, it is one of the coolest things I've ever seen a friend do.
Wow.
And can I give a little color,
that's
though,
how,
to my
that's
match?
That's how wow. well done.
I want to give a little color to my match.
It was
though.
Strange. Because
and you've seen me golf, so I'm shocked.
I'm saying, like, you have your friends that you know that are athletes, but it was just different. It was weird. Not weird. I don't mean that way. It was just
you
surreal
expecting.
To see Doug compete on this level. It was fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And we're, like, screaming. We were into it, bro. We're screaming at the TV.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
And I just want to say, with no... absolutely no excuses. After 3-0 match, where our opponent, and I won't say his name because he's my friend and he'll be mad at me, but our opponent literally threw up during the match. Like, I mean, it was 85, high humidity. He probably had a couple of drinks the night before. He was the pro and played Division I tennis. And by the time I got to the fourth match, my watch had already said I've closed all my rings for the day. So my partner, who's a professional pickleball player and just a super athlete, he looks at me as we're 3-0 and walking to, I think, center court now, where it's going to be
on TV.
I guess. Wow. I was going to say televised.
Well, it was televised, but it was a high-end stream is what I'm saying. It's like it
but
was.
But you know what Wes says to me? He goes, the only way we don't win this thing is if your conditioning does not hold up. Now I'm already not holding up. I'm already like, wow, I can barely breathe. This is like serious shit. But then, so all I was saying is, and I felt great about my performance, but by the time I got to center court where it was going to be televised, I'd already played four matches and was exhausted in a day.
In a couple hours.
Wow. Yeah. So I did. My watch told me for the day I burned almost 3,000 calories.
Yo, Doug's watch thought he got in a car accident. Didn't it? Said some kind of weird thing.
Your heart rate was going.
Yeah,
so
like
fast.
The watch will protect you from like in a car accident.
Well, it won't protect you, but it'll call 911.
It's not an airbag, but it says it basically says everything okay. Doug's Apple.
So you were nervous too, right?
I was nervous. Also, once I walk onto that center court, they're like, "You're going to be mic'd up," and I know what my breathing already sounds like. I'm like, "This is." I go, "Guys,
did sound like an
it's going to sound like Dylan when the girl goes out of town and he gets the porn on." I mean, I was just like.
Sound like Dylan's house on Halloween night.
You sound like you're having orgasms when you play pickleball. Every shot, you see Doug is like,
It really is. My buddy Geyer.
He really was.
I sent him the video. He goes, you know, you got to stop with the grunting.
Scotty said Doug's a grunter, huh? I was like, I think Doug's just tired.
It really was not that I'm a grunter. I really was having trouble breathing in between points. I actually told, you know, my partner in the middle of our semifinal match, which I believe we could win. And let me just say, Kyle Yates is the pro on the other side. Danny Werfel, Heisman Trophy winner, who's not even sweating, who's in just like ridiculous shape. And I just looked at him in the middle of the match. I'm like, I think we could win this one, but I'm not sure I can play another one after this. So I shouldn't have said that to him because I think it might have taken our competitive edge away.
You know? I couldn't believe how good it was, bro.
It was fun, and you guys see how this sport is now suddenly exploding. It's pretty wild.
Well, it's funny too because the earlier matches, which were all good, obviously better than any of us, obviously, but the level of competition jumped up in those semifinals, and it was.
But there's been a lot of chatter. I get a lot of messages about stock tip nowadays, people. And by the way, I want to say to the people out there, Dave is sensitive. Dave does not want to be in the limelight with negativity coming at him.
Well, he wants to be in the limelight just with positivity.
Yeah, but, and I told him because a couple of people said some negative shit, and I said, Dave, you're doing something right. Trust me, if you want to look at the messages I get. But, Dave, we do have to jump in again because Dave apparently, he saw one of the players who's excellent for his age, but this is a pro-am, and Rick Barry, who is still on the top 50 all-time NBA players list, was playing in it. So he's confessed to me that he said something to you while you guys were watching at the office when he saw Rick Barry, as if, you know,
he made multiple comments. I asked him to not to cease the comments.
What did he say about Rick Barry?
He's like, big deal. Doug's about to beat a 75-year-old man. Right? 78. So I just kind of first gave him the look. I was like, Dave, don't be a hater. You know, whatever. And the second time I gave him a look. And then
you're better than that, bro. Don't be that guy.
And Dave was also mad about something else. Who knows what else he's mad about. But Kira pops in and goes, well, what's all the excitement about? He's like, excitement. Doug's about to beat up on a 75-year-old man in pickleball. So I asked Dave to leave the room because we were so zoned in on it. We were into it, bro. It was like, Kev, it was like a Yankee game.
So, but Rick Barry, yelling at the Rick TV. Barry is,
oh, man, I
is,
wish I was
Rick,
here.
Rick Barry is excellent, but they came in like, you know, I don't know, eighth place. They weren't like.
He's also 6'5", and you can only hope to God you look anything like that
at
his age.
But also.
And he was the M.
First of all, he's the amateur. He's excellent. He's got the highest. I think he's got him and Steph Curry are 1-2 for highest free throw percentage and whatever. Wow. But the point is
he went underhand, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My difference. My difference in age to Rick Barry is about the same as my difference in age to the pros that I was playing.
You don't
got
to explain yourself to me, bro. I love the performance.
Dave. You know what? I think this has changed Conley and I's relationship.
He finally has respect for you.
You know, I had to fire off a warning shot to Doug because you know they give you, Kev, like a golf handicap. You get pickleball scores, right? So you have a rating for pickleball. Yeah. And I've heard Doug talk a lot about pickleball. Never heard a word about rating. So they start talking about ratings at this thing. And now Doug is now in Miami, right? He's got like a tan and he's like talking to the camera.
And he's like,
yo, if anybody with a 4.6 rating or better want to come play me, plays a little pickleball, hit me up. But you got to be at least a 4.5 or a 4.6. I said, call him. I said, Doug, listen, bro. You got me on your side for the first time ever. Don't ruin it, bro.
I
got
to say, two things about his story, which are completely like biased and untrue. Number one, so it's Duper is the rating system. I've never played in a.
Did you have it before this?
So I had no rating, even though they somehow gave me one. I played one tournament 5 years ago, and we did very well. But with the guy who's now.
Point is that now he's Johnny Ratings guy.
And no, like, but wait, let me just finish. One, two, or three guy, Riley Newman, he asked me to go with him to Kansas City 5 years ago. He's now legitimately top three in the country in this sport. I said, you want me as a partner? Anyway, we were 4-3. That was 5 years ago. That's the only time I played in a tournament. So I have no rating, but somehow they put up a rating and they gave me like a 4-4, which I think is low. But the point is, and what I was saying on this Instagram message, which I said nothing compared to what Colin, all I said is, hey, anyone
hey
wants
man,
to play, that's
modern. You gotta be at least a 4-7, bro, because I don't know if you saw the YouTube thing, but I'm fucking ripping it up now. I'm like, I'll be a 5 by the end of the year.
They gave you a 4-4, but then you went up, right?
He's got, well, it takes a month.
It's going to take a month, and it'll be interesting to see since we were 5-1.
What is the top rank?
Like my partner, no, it's, I don't think you can even make the 7, but my partner was like, West is like a 6'3". I'll never, ever, ever get to that. That's like professional.
But just
level.
Don't call me unless
but,
you're.
But what I
unless
what,
you're 4.7.
But what I was doing, which I want you guys to get into this
so
sport.
Corny,
I got in an Uber at 5:45 in the morning to go to Fort Lauderdale to play with strangers. And the truth about pickleball is it's this game that has the most delusional people in the world. Everybody thinks they're great. And
it's like a golf handicap.
I'm aware of my level, and I don't want to drive 45 minutes and pay $150 in an Uber and
not
end up playing with guys that can't, I don't want to end up with Stock Tip Dave on the court, I just don't. Right. I also don't want to end up with guys that are way too good for me. So I just said moderately high level. You're making me sound bad.
I don't know. We could also go back and review that one if you want.
We should play.
Sure
let's do it.
Sure
where can we play?
See, Dylan already is convinced he's going to win.
No, I'm not going to beat you. Yeah.
I'm going to beat you with my phone.
I will,
Dylan.
Once I play for about a week. I'll stop beating Doug. 1 week.
So, all right. Well, anyway, pickleball, everyone should get into it, and we'll come back with season 4, episode 5,
The Dream Team. Guys, it's all about confidence when it's time for sex. Am I right? And what better confidence booster than a fun round with your partner? All courtesy of the Chewables from BlueChew.com. What's BlueChew.com? Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form at the fraction of a cost. And now they also have Vardifinil mint-flavored chewables with the active ingredient in Levitra and Staxin so you can stay hard and fresh. Blue Chew tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your house in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And don't forget the special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code VICTORY at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code VICTORY, and receive your first month free. All right, we're back. Season 4, episode 5.
Wow, not even a
the
water
dream
break.
Team.
This guy's a slave driver. So yeah, I know you guys don't know how quickly that was, but we took no break.
Because I think we got a good flow going.
I thought I could stretch here.
Yeah, you don't stretch. This isn't pickleball. Right? You can only stretch if you're a 4.6 or better.
All right, let's get into this episode, Kev. Right. What do you got to say about it?
All right, so I think we hold off on the Dylan storyline because it's. I feel like it's controversial. I feel like I like the Dylan storyline better than you guys. But I felt some eye rolling going on. So that's going to be some interesting stuff about Dylan. But the episode opens with us walking through Barney's dramas, trying to figure out how to look cool for the new season of Five Towns.
It was weird walk and talk.
It was weird when it started because I didn't even know what we were watching. It like it's so strange how I guess because I was so obsessive season 1, 2, 3 maybe, but I thought it was the Playboy Mansion episode because I know that starts in Barney's and you guys were all walking through.
We've done a couple of walk and talks.
Yeah,
in Barney's.
And Barney's, which no longer exists, correct?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, Barney's was A, such a great location, B, such a great store, and we ended up shooting in that restaurant too, which I used to eat at like 3 days a week.
But drama's trying to get cool clothes for the new season.
Yeah.
And Vince and E are going to meet Billy Walsh at the Barney's had a restaurant.
Yes.
Right? That was attached to it, a high-end.
Yeah, Fred. It wasn't called Fred's, although it's Fred's in New York.
High-end, so. Kind of snob, not snobby, but you know what
it
I mean?
Wasn't even that high-end snobby, but because it was so close to the agencies, like in
right. William Morris. Right, it's walking distance.
All the agents used to eat there.
Used to eat there.
And, yeah.
So even though Walsh and E get into a fight because the trailer has been leaked, we're going to talk about leaked trailers, but that's based on a real story that happened in that restaurant?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, so tell us that story.
Very close friend of mine, which I won't mention his name,
yeah,
I guess, because I don't,
yeah,
I don't,
it's no, fair. It just, but, there's no reason to mention
but
his name.
He honestly, like that restaurant was, if you wanted to make a scene and it go around Hollywood quickly, you would do it there because every.
Right, like at lunch. Yes. If you make a scene, it'll be everywhere.
Yeah, and it was also like, I mean, it's pretty tight quarters. So everybody is like arm in arm. So my friend, I don't know if I should get into the whole story. But
get into the story, but just don't say his name. It doesn't matter.
I mean, he hired a PI because he thought his
wife was having an affair. Uh-huh. Turns out that he was correct.
He
right?
Turns out he's correct. And he sees the guy at the restaurant, walks by him, and just fucking blasts him in the head.
Basically at that table where
yeah.
we shot.
Wow. So even though the storyline has nothing to do with that storyline, I was inspired to put it in that restaurant, to have a fight go on in that restaurant.
Right.
And
because it would spread. Word would spread if something
yeah,
like that
even though
happen.
I don't even know if we use that, like it doesn't spread. Nobody talks about the spread of that fight, which
that's
it really
true.
Would.
Well,
like that would be almost
spread,
as big as the leak of the trailer.
The spread of the trailer. So the trailer gets leaked. E's the only one with the copy. Again, it's crazy. I don't know what happens. I don't know if E...
After this?
Sure.
Who released it? I mean, they never said who released
it. Do you remember
trailer.
Who released it?
No idea.
So they have it.
I was thinking Billy Walsh
released,
did it himself.
But nobody knows. They don't explain it.
I think we're going to find out. I'm guessing we're going to find out in the next episode, hopefully.
Do we? Yeah.
At least. But the trailer gets leaked, and it's a disaster. But it turns out to be a good thing because everybody likes the trailer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Even though in real life, they didn't like the trailer.
They didn't like
yeah.
the trailer.
It's so weird.
But that leads to the Ari and Lloyd storyline, which I actually.
The fight was great, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we had the
Walsh fight. Awesome.
Snoop Dogg cameo, which was
yeah,
which
yep. Snoop Dogg cameo, which is cool.
Strange, right? Kind of.
Yeah, but it's just cool. It's,
right.
Yeah, but it's cool to, you know, get him. And these guys were fans of the show, and we're obviously huge fans of his. So to get him on the show and you know, we didn't give him much to do, but we
right.
kind of put him in the story
yeah,
that
came,
he knows
up.
About the trailer.
Yeah,
exactly. And he was great on the set.
He saw the trailer that it got leaked. And
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. So E, the trailer now is kicking up some momentum for Vince. Is that
yeah,
what's happened? The trailer's kicking
yeah.
up some momentum, and he wants to go. I don't remember this movie. What is it? What was the movie?
Walk in the Clouds?
Walk in the Clouds? The fuck is Walk in the Clouds?
I don't know.
You know,
I
it
don't
just
know.
Came out of nowhere.
I was just, it doesn't
it's like a camper who gets lost in the...
it's like a Mount Everest
in the woods
movie,
or something.
Right?
Yeah, it sounded like Everest, but...
Oh, Annapurna. Mount Annapurna. That's
yeah.
what it was. That's
but
what
wasn't like? Didn't Bertolucci do a movie with Keanu called Walk in the Clouds? I don't or something like that.
So I have no idea. This is that movie title that dropped. I don't know. I know we don't end up doing it. I'm assuming, but Heath Ledger has the role, and Heath Ledger is repped by no other than Josh Weinstein.
yeah, it's all so ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, and it's sad watching this and like thinking that Heath Ledger's now been dead for years.
I know.
When we wrote that. He's the biggest.
Yeah, Ari was scared. Yeah. Ari was scared.
I mean, this is like not only the biggest star, but also the guy that everyone thinks is like one of the best actors on the planet.
Right.
So,
yeah. Right. Yeah. But is that possible? Like, but Ari and Lloyd launch a counter attack.
Sabotage.
Sabotage attack. That based on anything?
Oh, I mean, it was based on a lot of things. And I don't know if we wrote the greatest version of how you sabotage someone in a movie, but. It was definitely playing on Ari's ability to play on Josh Weinstein's insecurities and then some of the other stuff that you can discuss with Dylan and whatever, you know.
What
you well, just how they talk him out of the movie as if, they, you know.
They say the character's going to be gay. You
yeah,
don't
mind, it's like.
He
you know.
Should be gay, playing gay twice.
Yeah.
Right.
Back-to-back movies.
Which the movie
and Lloyd goes, oh, Heath and The Rock would make a great couple.
And by the way, there's like
what
nothing
a visual.
There's he's nothing a, gay in the script of this movie, and Josh Weinstein is
what
just.
Does he, what does he say? He's like, "What do you mean? What are you do, they doing? They're using their ass, each other's ass as hand warmers. What do you
yeah.
think they're doing on that mountain?"
Yeah, and I think you know that feels like a line too that kind of came from if you remember Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You know, when remember when Steve Martin and John Candy fall asleep in bed together, and they wake up and they're like cuddling, yeah. and you know, John Candy's like, "Where are your hands?" And Steve
Between
Martin's like,
"Two pillows.
those aren't pillows."
Couple things that jumped out at me. I don't know why. I don't know how this could fall through the cracks, but so I get into that little dust up with Billy Walsh at the restaurant, and then I show up at the Miller Gold Agency, and I have like that little rip in my shirt.
Yeah.
It felt kind of false, didn't it?
I liked it. I pointed it out to you, and you're like, yeah, I hated that. So
it just felt like, ooh, nice rip where it's not like too much to where it's distracting in the scene. It just felt like a convenient little rip.
Yeah, like yeah, you yeah. thought. If you like, get a fire,
dude, either I'm coming in there in a t-shirt because my shirt got ripped off, but it's like, oh, here's this little
By the way, you didn't notice it. You didn't notice this slit.
Oh, my
slit.
God. I just noticed this like slit on my shirt.
You know, and also, there's a couple of movies when I always think about things, and I know part of it, like, I wanted to notice. If you ever remember 3 O'Clock High.
Of course.
Great movie. You know, with you were boys with Casey Semenko, weren't you? You know him, don't you? No? All right. Anyway.
Richard Tyson.
Anyway. Anyone who's not seen this movie, it's a classic movie about like a high school movie where there's a fight at 3 o'clock. But the bully grabs Casey Semenko in the bathroom by his sweater, and then for like the next two scenes, he's walking around. And he's got like this like
crinkled,
these five fingers like actually built into the sweater, which I know they had to do something to make it look that specific, and it was funny.
Yeah, that's how this was. This rip shirt, and then I go into the store and I buy an identical shirt.
You did?
Yeah, I come out with the exact same shirt, and I don't know.
Wait, when was that? After?
Later on, before? Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of a weird beat for me. But and then we got to tell the story about the translucent boy chest. Can we talk about the translucent boy chest?
So translucent boy chest, which I actually it makes me feel like I'm stupid now. But the night
you're
before,
saying you got it now?
Yeah, it's like a pale, non-manly guy.
Right.
Right? So, like, Connelly's like, not yet. So, but Piven called me the night before, and it's not that like, we often had calls where he would say, I got an idea for a line. But he called me up, and he said, I want to call Connelly.
I want to say that Connelly has a translucent boy chest?
Yeah, and it's weird. I guess I do feel stupid now, because I really didn't understand it, which makes me feel extremely dumb right now. It's so obvious what he's saying now, even though I don't think you understand.
I got it then. Yeah. I don't know if it really means anything, but I understood.
It means you're pale and don't have a manly chest.
I understood that.
Like Lloyd says in this episode that Heath Ledger has a 44-inch chest. I think Piven was saying you have like an 18-inch chest. Okay.
But translucent boy chest, like you're just like a white, like
super white pale. We can see through you and
right,
you look
right. So you can see you're so pale and little, we can see through you.
Right. Basically. So but anyway, it was late at night. When I see Piven calls, I'm probably like, oh boy, where are we going with this? Right. But he said, I want to add this thing. And honestly, he felt my hesitation, which was not, you guys know, I was never like, we can't change something. I just didn't get it quickly. And he was like,
oh, he got mad.
Oh, he got really mad. He got really mad, like really quickly. And then I'm reactionary. And guys, I got mad.
I just remember coming in the morning and remember hearing rumors of a dust up the night before over translucent boy chest.
So this is over the phone, you guys.
Over the phone.
But it spilled into the next day because Doug's like, do you have any idea what a translucent boy chest is? Do you know what that means? I'm just like not wanting to get
it. You know
in
what's so weird
it?
About it when I think about it? I think. Like the way boy chest was combined, I wasn't thinking about your chest or you as a young I don't know. It's so obvious to me when I watch it now. And Piven, you like great line, I think. I don't know.
No, it's fun. Like it. It's by the way, we've been talking about it for a half hour. But I also and it's weird because you never can say this about Piven. I feel like you got in his head on the line. A little bit.
I don't know. I was in my own head on the line because, you know.
Didn't it feel like that a little bit when he delivered that line? Like
there was a breath between the line because he had a lot to say.
Right.
I think the breath was like, fuck you, Doug. This line is great and I'm saying it. But it was, you know what? Again, I think that I just didn't understand it. And I think what's interesting, and you guys might say this about me, if I say a line to you and you don't react quickly, I might be like, oh, not funny. Go fuck yourself. I honestly think it's funny. I'm glad it's in there now, but I just didn't understand it at whatever time of night it was, or I didn't understand it quick enough, and I didn't respond in the positive way. So, you know, sensitive artist.
How did you work it out? You said, go ahead, do the line, or?
Either, I honestly believe, like, there might have been, like, a hang-up on each other moment the night before.
There was super, super, super tense, like cold shoulder, these guys not really speaking to each other in the morning. Yeah. And then Doug was like, all right, we'll do it, right? And then I believe we probably did it both ways, and then it ended up in there.
You know, I don't know. I, like I said, now when I watch it, it's a standout funny line to me. It is. So, you know, we'll give Piven a writing credit. What are you going to do?
That's it. He should get a writing credit. And then, okay, line that would not be written in 2022.
So there are plenty of them in there.
Yeah.
How about this trailer? Brian Burns is credited with the screenplay. But we love Brian Burns.
Downloaded more than Britney's Beaver Shot.
That's good.
You know what's weird is that's like funny. Now as a 54-year-old man, and you know, it's funny as shit.
It's just childish.
But the truth is, I'm telling you right now, I don't want to say it's Ari Emanuel. Do you know how many fucking agents I used to sit with who this is how they would talk all the time? And it was done. You know they're playing a bit. You know they're trying to be funnier. They're trying to get laughs. But it does feel bizarrely immature when he says it. It's just like,
or when he's talking about Dana Gordon, he's like folding the computer over and like try humping the computer. And again, you guys just sit there. But I don't know, Doug. I felt like all in all, and again, this is no disrespect. I mean, we're all responsible for this, but I don't know. I feel like you don't think that was a terribly well executed, written. What do you think?
You know what? There's some moments that just, again, I'm not reacting to PC culture. I'm not reacting to anything. I'm just like, there's a couple of lines that just like the Britney's Beaver Shot just seemed like absurdly unfunny to me at this moment. I mean, I don't know. Like, by the way, I didn't remember it was coming. I didn't think it was coming. So I'm almost watching this like I have nothing to do with this show. And it just seems like, to me, it seems a little like, ba-dum-tsh. Where some of those moments feel hilariously funny to me still. And actually the Dana Gordon,
I got videos, I got pictures.
That stuff made me laugh, context. So. Elvis Mitchell, who was a great guy, and we did one of those panels with him where he was the moderator. He was like the New York Times TV critic or film critic, actually.
And he also would do, so he was interviewing the guys that did Medellin for a story about guys from New York.
And Elvis was awesome. And Elvis was, I think, one of the early podcast adapters.
Is that true?
I believe so. And he was such a good guy and was awesome to come on. But
he sits down to interview. This is right after Walsh and I have had this fight.
Yeah.
And he's like, Vinny, that little cunt sucker punched me. That's a bitch move of the century, or whatever it is. Now we go, and this is the first time we see Suit Suck. This was the intro of Suit Suck t-shirt. Yeah.
And the tattoo. I mean, that's why I say this.
The reveal of the tattoo is great.
There's some moments in this that I love. And then like that.
Right. Like Reese is, again, great. Like his stuff is amazing.
He's great.
Yeah. And by the way, Connelly, no, not for anything. Connelly, we've talked about this before. Guy's a fucking scrapper. He's not a tough guy. Reese looks just huge next to him. This would be an uncomfortable on its surface would be an uncomfortable fight. This would be something they would do like in the gladiator days as like a fucking,
that would take a bunch of vodka sodas. it's not what I go at.
He just looks so long.
Right. Like, it's not one that I choose, that's for sure. That's like emergency only.
Line too? He goes, I'm sorry, Vince, but I hate that fucking guy.
A couple things. He's like, Vince goes, Elvis, perhaps he gets the least credit of all, has the hardest job with the least credit. And Walsh is like, yeah, well, he's little, so he doesn't need as much credit.
As normal people. Regular size.
As much credit as normal people. There's like a few shots in that, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. But then when we go outside, the funny thing is the thing that sets him off at the valet is that I called him a hack. So I call him a million things, and I call him a hack, and he snaps, and he rips his shirt off. And we get, Vince and E are driving away in the car, and Reese goes, don't be mad at me, Vinny. I just hate him. I hate him. But Reese turns in another fucking stellar performance. Oh, introduces the Suit Suck shirt. I got to tell a story. This might seem gossipy, but it did happen.
Uh-oh.
It did happen. Maybe we shouldn't talk about this.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah?
Mm,
Okay, I feel bad because he was so good. Elvis Mitchell was very good to us.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Uh-oh.
But Elvis Mitchell, didn't he get criticized about... wasn't there something about Elvis Mitchell where he reviewed a movie that he hadn't seen and he took a bunch of heat for it?
I remember there was something, but I don't remember what it was.
I think it was something like that.
He reviewed a movie he hadn't seen?
Or I shouldn't say he hadn't seen it, but whatever it was, he got sort of tripped up talking about something that didn't make any sense, is my understanding.
I don't remember.
He took a lot of heat for it. He's a really good guy. But then when we did our panel, I don't think that Piven was aware of that situation. and Piven is like, oh, this guy, he hasn't even seen the show or something like that.
Ooh.
Not referencing the other situation because Piven didn't have
any. But he didn't call him a translucent boy.
No, he didn't say he had a translucent boy chest. But Piven was like, oh, making a joke about him not watching Entourage. Mm-hmm. And it was like a super sensitive thing for Elvis. And you don't remember this?
No.
But it was a big one, too.
No.
Was that like
but as long as we're on it, just for real quick, and I know I need to say this to all the things, I don't care. Like people go, don't let the haters bother you and this and that. I don't care. But yesterday, because a lot of people who follow me like to send me shit that people say that's negative. But yesterday in the New York Times, this fucking hack, he writes this article about this guy, John Coblin. And I wish everybody.
What is the article about?
It's why HBO didn't have more women shows early on, which fine, whatever, like write your article. But I just want to say this as quickly. So everybody, if you really care about us, I want you to follow this guy on Twitter and say some shit to him. But anyway, this guy writes a whole article and then he writes, oh, they started making some female shows like Sex and the City. Then they go backwards and he writes Mind of the Married Man. He quotes an Entertainment Weekly review that says how bad Mind of the Married Man is, which I'm not going to judge. And then he goes the bro show Entourage about these men on the loose. And I just want to say to this guy, again, this is not sensitive, but I want people to understand rewriting history and culture is disgusting. So the New York Times in 2003, Alessandra Stanley, who was the female reporter for the New York Times, said we were the smartest show on television. In 2004, the New York Times put us number one on the list of best shows.
What did this guy say that hurt your feelings?
It didn't hurt my feelings. He's a liar. No, because what he should have
said
is...
He said bro show, guys.
Yeah, but he can say I don't like it. He could say anything. But when he's quoting us and putting us in lock and step with Mind of the Married Man, he said... The New York Times wrote that this show was the smartest show on television. So I just find the thing about cancel culture that's scary is when they write articles like that, and people who are, you know, decent writers, they can write in a way that people who've never heard of Entourage, you pick up the New York Times and you read that and you go, oh, it's some piece of shit show about men on the loose. But no, we were the show that the New York Times said was the best show on TV. So just all I want to say is to John Coblin, just do your proper homework. Go, I don't like it, which is your right, and I don't like him, so that's my right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. You don't like anybody.
No, I like you guys.
I like him less. I didn't like him before. But
Coblin or me?
Copeland.
Yeah, yeah.
Copeland. I don't know who he is.
Men on the Loose, you fucking hack.
Is that wrong? Is that wrong? I mean, men on the loose? Dylan was a man on the loose.
Believe me, he was writing it as an article that HBO stepped so far backwards with our 6-time Emmy-nominated show, men BAFTA winning, loose. You know, Peabody Award winning.
That could have been a good alternate title.
Men on the loose. I'm happy to welcome an amazing new sponsor to the show. I'm talking about Sheath Underwear. Have you or your friends had trouble finding comfortable underwear? Underwear that is focused on your comfort with no chafing, no sticking, no drama, Kevin Dillon, and designed so that everything fits exactly where it should, if you know what I'm talking about. If yes, then you have to try Sheath Underwear. It all starts with Sheath's dual pouch system, a concept that was developed by the company's founder after enduring a summer in Iraq. Day after day of triple-digit heat and unbearable chafing and discomfort. Founder and CEO Robert Patton felt there had to be a better way, and now there is. When I first saw it, I thought, this is genius. My friends tell me all you do is put them on and gravity handles the rest. The dual pouch comfortably cradles you and just like a hammock for your family jewels. And don't forget to check out our newest additions, the Bamboo V and the Mesh Boxer Brief. That means added comfort, added performance, added mobility. I wear these to play pickleball, and let me tell you something. I win. It's a whole new world of comfort and performance, and Sheath Underwear is all about supporting shows like ours and supporting free speech. So make sure to give Sheath Underwear a try. Go to sheathunderwear.com now and use the promo code VICTORY to receive 20% off today. That's sheathunderwear.com today and use the promo code VICTORY for 20% off.
All right, now let's get to... the bulk of this episode,
not the bulk.
No, it wasn't
this was the B storyline.
Dylan in his hat,
and it really felt like a B storyline this time.
I know that, but this is the one that jumped out at me the most because Dylan, you saved the day here with your performance.
Well, thank you, Kev. I appreciate that. You know, there was some great stuff. You know, the walking onto the set with the hat. That was a cool shot. But there was some cool stuff that was there. People loved it. You know, they really did. But
one thing about Kev, he's got a very specific idea. Like, he knows when he gets the script, he goes, yeah, I can, let's fucking go. This one's game on. And then when he's not feeling it, he's not feeling it, right? So I don't know if you remember. Yeah. So you flagged that in the script. You're like, what is this?
Yeah, I felt like it was the storyline was a little... dumb. No, sorry, Doug, but I, right. you know, look, I want to get a hat, but it actually worked. It yeah. fucking worked.
So I think most of it works because of Dylan.
You made it work.
Yeah, I really do. I think you made it work because you're so committed and so funny. By the way, just quick shout out, Albano's, which the guys go to early on. That was one of the best pizza places in LA at the time, and it's no longer there. But and he, you know, Albano himself was a friend and is a friend. So,
well, yeah. I think he passed away.
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you've been around. You haven't been around too long. You don't go
I don't
down,
know. Maybe you don't know.
You don't go down there anymore. I mean, I tell you. All right. But so do you remember anything about Dylan flagging the storyline early on?
No.
I would usually call you and start complaining about it. But.
Yeah. I don't remember any of it, but it feels like a storyline that Dylan would go, this is so stupid and silly. But you know what? The truth, again, like he makes me laugh. I know there's influences from other things. When he comes out, by the way, looking like Rob Weiss when he's got the glasses on and the leather jacket.
I got the
jacket.
Ear tucked into the hat.
The ear tucked in. And also, it's a very, like, I know it was like kind of our homage because Brian Burns was credited on this script. We loved Can't Buy Me Love. And if you remember the scene where Patrick Dempsey, like, turns into the cool guy and starts walking down the hall.
That's kind of exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean,
it's exactly what it was.
You know?
But you know, so it's again, we mentioned this earlier. But Dylan's coming back for the new season, and he wants to feel like they're not aging out his character. So he wants to kind of keep it young and feel young, and he wants to fit in with the guys.
Yeah.
So by the way,
this was the episode that got me smoking cigarettes again. I fell back in.
Ooh.
We did so many bong hits, and it was tobacco. It was cigarette tobacco.
Well, that
you guys
really
all smoked, and then I remember mooching a cigarette off you guys. I quit again shortly after that, but
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that.
No, it's all
right. That I don't like.
But so he goes and you and it's funny because now you just walk into a weed store with your license.
Yeah.
But in those days, you had to go in and say something.
Yeah, right?
you had to say there's something wrong with you, and I'm of course my character's too physically fit to have nerve damage. I mean, look at me.
but that's the funny thing. Like, the government's involved in this stuff, but anyone could get a card just by saying something. And that's what the comedy of that scene was kind of supposed to be, that Dylan isn't reading that. The guy who, by the way, Bob Balaban, the guy's a great filmmaker, great actor. You might remember him from Seinfeld.
Underutilized
the scene just didn't pop the way it felt like it should.
And there was another false beat, and this is not for knock on Burns or anybody, but
No. Well, listen, by the way, let me be crystal clear. All the writers, we're in a room and we're coming up with ideas, and someone's name could be on a script that they didn't write any of, and their name could not be on a script that they wrote a lot of.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right. Okay. So. But I think the idea that drama, so you got to go into the doctor and give an excuse, and the idea that drama would go in and say that he had a bronchial condition.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like drama's smarter than that.
Yeah. Yeah. And this,
why would you go and you're asking for a license to put?
He says he's got Legionnaire's disease. He doesn't know what it is.
Oh, is
so
that
he's just
what
using
it was?
That as a. Oh, he's like, okay. I'm going to go in here and just improv. You know?
And I got to be honest.
You know what I'm saying?
So
though?
He doesn't know what it is.
I honestly,
he's just like, I'll go with that.
Legionnaire's disease, which is a bronchial.
I think what you just said is what you just said is the key to why I don't like most of this storyline. It's trying to keep it going with some stupid sitcom-y turns. Drama is smart, and Turtle would tell him how to get his card, and I just it
tell
feels
him you get
like
anxiety.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
all you gotta say, which is what you guys landed on, that you get anxious.
Yeah. And that's why that scene with two fucking amazing actors is boring, because he's trying to convince Dylan, look, I'm just here to get you to say
I can't give it to you. You have to say it.
And that's like classic sitcom beats. We've seen it 1,000 times. And this, it doesn't work, because I think it's exactly what you just said. Drama, maybe a lot of things. He's not stupid.
Yeah,
and I think
stupid.
This story plays him stupid. So.
Yeah,
and then he shows up to the set, and then, you know, they smoke. Have you ever smoked weed at work? Not like that.
Never.
I've never done a bong hit at work.
Nope.
Jesus.
I've taken a hit.
Don't be so angry about it.
The only time I actually even ever drank on the set was the St. Paddy's Day Massacre, because I had to be drunk anyway. But that was the first time. I'm always. Yeah.
Connelly, you're not a big pot smoker, right?
No, not in real life.
Yeah.
But that's not true. I'm an edible guy, like once in a while, but like.
Never at work.
But I'm
not at work.
No, because I'm like Dylan.
Yeah.
Like drama. Like, if I were to smoke weed at work and it would go south.
Yeah,
that would be really bad and could really.
I don't remember
really
if you remember this, but during the pandemic, I was doing like the Today Show in Australia live on Zoom, And I woke up at 10 a.m. and it was like early on when like depression was setting in. You don't do anything. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pop an edible. And then I get like an alert, you know, email. You're right. Doing live television in an hour. Okay. And I got on live television and I remember I like the broadcaster is talking to me. And all of a sudden I was staring at, I think it was a guy. I was staring at it, just staring at his mouth, watching it. And in my head, I start going, I swear to God, this is so awful. I go, don't say anything racist in my head. And then I go, why would you say anything racist? You're not
you
a racist.
You start having inner dialogue.
Yeah, I go, why would you say anything racist? You're not a racist. And then I'm going,
that's the worst.
But then I'm going, that's what people say when they say something racist. I'm not normally a racist. So this entire thing is going on while this person is asking me questions. And I'm like, please, for the love of God, somebody get me off of this interview. And when people watched it, I got a lot of messages like, how fucking high were you doing
really?
This? Yes.
You know what? That's not true. And I could say this because I don't think he would mind because it was pretty funny. So in season 7, it was a Friday night. We were at that Encino house, and it was the scene where Adrian is passed out naked at the side of the pool, and Piven and I are in the background of the martini. So we're on camera, I guess theoretically, mm-hmm. but we're way and we took a. Took a couple hits of a fucking
pivot. If you don't background.
Pivot and I were doing background work. Yeah. But we were, by the way, it might be one of the best times he and I had together. Like, we were like, we laughed because it was so ridiculous. Yeah. Adrian's naked on the. Like, what happened? What's going on with the show? We have to stand there grinning. You know, Pivot is not one to pull punches when he's like, you know, taking a shot at somebody, especially Grenier. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he had a man, you know, translucent boy ass, basically, is what Pivot was saying. You know, Pivot had a bunch of. But we, that is probably the one time ever. Because, yeah, man, it goes.
So did you have to perform at all?
No. We're like literally like in the shot. It's almost like, oh, God, we need to be here. Like, oh, you're in the shot.
Since you brought this up, though, I mean, I have to know. And I think after this, without any bullshit, we put a group chat together, Jerry, Connolly, Dylan, and myself, and we send Adrian a message. He said he wants to do the podcast. Everyone wants
to do
him
a group
on.
Chat.
Let's do a group chat. Dylan, you just got to throw in some positivity, which I know you do, but you got to just respond
Dylan,
that you're active.
Throw your thumbs up or your Hang Loose Hawaii thing. Dylan's a big guy.
By the way,
Hawaii,
Dylan.
Yeah. Dylan's major emoji. Yeah.
Do you know what I saw the other day?
Thumbs up.
Dylan is a very big thumbs up guy, which. Apparently, in like millennial circles, is a really insulting emoji.
By the way,
like you're basically going, okay, go fuck yourself.
Yo,
you know?
I saw.
Apparently, not the older.
I think it's yes. It's
Yeah.
Instead of spelling out yes, you just.
I'm with you.
You know, you're 100% right, Kev. That's how they're somehow offended that it's something dismissive about the thumbs up emoji.
Yeah, really? You're basically going, okay, bro.
Like, whatever, rock on, bro. Rock on, bro. Like, don't talk
so
to
I've
me
been
like
dissing
that.
People all this time.
You have not been dissing people. That's
I am doing this group chat. After this, it's going to be all of us. Should I put Jeremy on, too? Ooh.
No. Don't put Jeremy on. I have a question. Yeah. I have a question for you, both of you guys, actually. So, Doug, like, after a game of pickleball, right? Let's say you have a meeting after a game of pickleball.
I have
right?
no meetings,
you to go from the car,
yeah,
right, and you got to go right to the meeting, right? You got to get a mizzen and main shirt, okay? It's the best shirt. It's an athletic shirt. You put it in your car. Where you know you dress. You know how they get stiff and the starch and all that kind of shit.
Yeah,
right?
They don't change these shirts.
No, you dread wearing those dress shirts, but these guys have this new material. The inventors of the performance fabric dress T-shirt. Nothing worse than being uncomfortable. Mizzen and main. Agrees with that, and that's why they made the lightweight, breathable, moisture wick dress shirt.
I can give you personal experiences with Mizzen and Main.
I
have no idea if he's still involved with it, but J.J. Watt sent me a bunch of Mizzen and Main.
He loves Mizzen and Main, right?
But no, I think he was an investor or whatever. But anyway, what they are is you don't get wrinkles, you don't get anything, and I could literally play pickleball in one of these shirts and then go to a meeting aside from my smell,
right,
which would
stink.
Not be the blame of the shirt. But the shirt would look fabulous. Yeah.
Right, it's true. And listen, for me, every time I get a nice shirt, I wear it, and then it gets rolled up in a ball to go to the dry cleaners, and it never makes it there.
Yeah, this
so
will
if
not
you can
matter.
Wash it, if you can take it and wash it,
it's
then
a game changer.
It's
no
a
doubt.
Game changer.
Yeah.
But you could also, for a guy like Dylan, you could pull it out of a ball like in Connolly's closet and head right to Chick-fil-A, and you look phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
All right. Well, so that said, if you want the best damn dress shirts that money can buy, check out Mizzen and Main right now. If you go to mizzenandmain.com and use promo code Victory.
Victory.
Right. Victory, right, Kev?
Victory.
You'll receive 35% off any regular price order of $125 or more, plus free shipping on orders of $100 or more, and free returns. That's $35 off when you go to MIZZENANDMAIN.com and use the promo code
Victory.
I do have a problem with shirts that have to, I have to take to the dryer.
I don't even you care might as about throw them out anymore, by the way.
It's a pain in the ass.
It's like once every couple months, like you go in an emergency, but to have a dress shirt that you can
just
wash.
I'm overdressing, by the way.
Hang them up.
I love it. I love it.
I'm really into I'm into the whole casual world now of just, I don't care anymore. I wear the same outfits almost like every
day. I'm thinking about just getting everything in black.
Yeah.
Just it's a pain in the ass putting stuff on. Just get everything in black.
I'm too tired to dress up.
Get out of the house quick. Look at us. We're all in black, all three of us.
I realize that. You know, I was a great dresser when I was on Entourage. Why? Because we had free clothes, free suits.
I don't buy anything anymore.
I don't know what to
Seinfeld
buy.
Used to have, not used to have, there was a great episode where George wears sweatpants and Seinfeld just looks at him and goes, you know what sweatpants say? And he's like, what? He goes, I've given up, okay? And it's crazy to think 20 years later, I wear sweats. These are James Purse. They're not cheap sweats, but they're I wear sweats at least 27 days of the month, at least. And I'm proud of it. I'm happy.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm with you, though, Kev. You get a bunch of black T-shirts,
yeah,
a couple blue T-shirts, get some jeans that fit, a couple jackets. You know, you mix it up. But, like, what do you get? Where are you going
to
go?
Warren Buffett wears the same outfit every day. He doesn't have to waste any time. He just goes into the closet, grabs the same stuff every day.
Zuckerberg. Do you know what they say that about super rich and wealthy people? It's one less thing that they have to worry about. I don't know if there's anything to that.
I think the three of us have so time easy. To worry about our outfits, but I just don't want to. I don't want to.
Well, yeah. No, it's just something that, you know, unless you have a reason, I don't know. I feel like I used to have a semi-decent fashion style, and it seems to have gone by
except
the wayside.
White Air Force Ones.
Somewhere along the
somehow
line.
Somehow you wear every day.
And yeah, I do
well,
like
well, guys, I might have to cut out early today. I got some ADR.
I don't think it's
Buddy Games 2.
Oh.
A little.
Have you seen it?
Haven't seen it yet.
Additional
so I'm
dialogue
my...
replacement.
Yes.
Replace some dialogue.
Oh, is that what it means? Yes. I didn't know that. ADR, looping. I never knew what
that's
it meant.
That's really funny. Yep.
Additional dialogue.
Are you excited for that? Do you hate it?
No, I'm excited to see the movie.
But do you doing ADR?
No, I don't like
doing it. For people
sometimes I'll refuse to do it because you could actually ruin a performance. Or sometimes you can make a performance a little bit better too. So, yeah.
So but people don't. For people that don't know what ADR is, it's additional dialogue replacement. So Kevin Dillon and I are doing a scene, and you know, Stock Tip Dave lets one rip in the bathroom over my line.
He's been known to do that.
I would have to, if it's really on the line, I would have to go in and they would line it up to beat. So it would go beep, 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 and you replace the line. And to Kevin's point. Kevin, I know you're a gangster. I'm a little bit more of a pushover, but it's a really when you're happy with what you're seeing as an actor, and then they're asking you to go in there 4 months later and replace it, it's really a bummer.
Yeah.
It's really a bummer. And a guy like Kevin, puts his foot down.
Yeah. Sometimes if you say there's nothing wrong with that. That is fine.
You can live
and
with
there's no way I'm
going to
get
fart.
That. I'm not going to get it that
it's
good again.
It's never going to be that good. Well, and how could it be?
So sometimes you got to let go. I'm not going to do it.
And
right?
let me be crystal clear. I despise it.
Right.
And I was so adamant, which we had some of the best sound people
in this
business.
We didn't have a
business.
Lot at all.
No, because they were awesome.
An Entourage. No.
It never, ever sounds real to me. Never. Yeah. Like, so when I hear,
sometimes in movies I pick it up. Even good movies, I'm like, that's an ADR line.
Oh, I can hear it all the time. And it to me, it crushes performances.
Yeah, but the other thing, too, it's to Dylan's point, and that's when you can also get defensive as an actor if you feel like the director's trying to, we're going to clean up that performance in ADR. Yeah. And you can do different inflections, and you can actually do different line readings.
Yeah, I'll sometimes change the performance on it.
Right.
I have never touched a line up ADR line because I thought I could make the acting better. The only reason I do it is when my sound guy
says
you can't.
95% of the time it's worse.
I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but there's some people that claim to have saved performances with ADR.
Well, we know on Ramble On we spent because we had a really bad one scene that.
Yeah, it was mine. And it was my, and by the way, it was my Islander jacket. So it was doing. It was doing this screechy thing on the microphone, and I like to think I'm a better technical actor than I am a regular actor. I know how to technical act. I hit my mark, and I know I'm wearing a microphone.
Yeah,
but they have to flag that and go, hey, this is a problem, or else I'm assuming there's no problem.
But we spent so much time on that scene trying to ADR it and get it right, and at the end of the day, we cut the whole scene.
We cut the whole scene, but you know what? Dude, we didn't do, and this is what I said. I said, you know, not for nothing, but Dylan would have laughed in your face.
Yeah.
because I happened to be in there with Doug. I wasn't even there. I happened to be in there, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll try to do it. And then I recorded the scene, and then it's in the cut, and I'm like, I hate it.
But the truth, the truth is, the sound was really unusable. It would have sounded like something was really wrong in that scene. Thank God we didn't.
Sometimes you got to do it.
But, right.
You know. Yeah. ADR. Well, anyway, I think we covered this. No?
Yeah, that's good. Cool.
So, yeah. I got to say, I did like my performance in the trailer when I was high. I really looked high.
Yeah,
I mean, I looked like I got baked in that
trailer. I think smoking all that tobacco is probably a head rush anyway.
Yeah, you know? I think it was. Yeah. I thought maybe they could have done some trippy kind of camera stuff.
You know what? I was thinking that too today. Yeah. Brandon Williams was in that scene too. It was one of the biggest real estate brokers in LA now.
But we never were a specialty shot show. I thought the same thing, Kevin.
Because I'm so high and I'm looking at everyone and they're.
It didn't look freaky. That trippy.
No.
No, Dylan, you made Lemonade, bro. And if you were 1% less committed, because I have people love that. The hat thing and the weed. Yeah. People love that storyline. I think we three of us can agree it's not our favorite.
No.
But without Dylan delivering that, that's a serious problem.
Does anyone know how long it took to put that Pablo tattoo, fake tattoo on Reese's back?
He was in the chair for hours.
Because I love that so much.
I know that it was a big job because when I was doing my episode and he had to be shirtless at the pool, I was like, where's his tattoo? And they were like, Kev, we can't. It takes so long. But then they came back after lunch and he had it on. So they were able to get it done, but it was hours to get the Pablo tattoo. Tough, so. He should have kept it. Reese probably would have kept it.
Should have got it permanent.
Reese,
he had any balls.
I can't believe Reese didn't have any tattoos at all. Isn't that weird?
In real life?
You would think Reese would be covered in tattoos.
Yeah, yeah.
He does not have it. By the way, you know what he has? A translucent boy chest. That's what Reese has. I didn't see exactly his chest popping out in any of those scenes, did you?
I thought he looked
in
great shape.
Man.
I was like, I gotta go to the gym after this.
He's big next to me. He's just skinny. Reese is skinny.
No, he's muscular and he's got a big back. He's long.
He does have a big back.
You guys in the ring would be phenomenal, by the way.
Oh, that's what he said. Get him in the ring anytime. Can you imagine us in the ring with boxing gloves? The only time I'm fighting Billy Walsh is in a bar when he's not looking. That's about it.
Cracking him with a glass.
When he's fucking least expecting it. So.
All right. Well, that wraps up season
4, episode 5. We got to talk because we got Anna Faris coming up. Right?
Yeah.
Who, I don't know, I can't get a hold of her. She won't respond to me. But we got to get AJ Buckley, who plays the crazy boyfriend.
Do it, yeah.
We got to get
AJ was genius.
We got to have Jerry on for Day Fuckers.
And AJ Buckley is on SEAL Team right now, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. He's a great actor.
He's awesome. So all right.
We got some good ones coming up.
Cool.
Victory of the podcast.
Victory.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide? Maybe I should buy some old tab collars. Welcome back to the age of jive.